as the kids have already gotten, they've gotten very well at knowing what time of the year it is, haven't they, with Megan? It's Lent. And so during our Wednesday Lenten services, our theme has been keeping our eyes on Jesus. And so each week we're looking at a different part of the passion narrative of the different people that had sinful eyes as they looked upon Jesus. And so, and as hard as we may try to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, we stumble and we fall. And so the event that we're going to take a look at, and on the Sundays here during Lent, we've been looking at Old Testament events and how they all point to Jesus. And the one today involves Moses and the children of Israel and how they took their eyes off of God. So let's take a look at this. It's in the book of Numbers, chapter 21. From Mount Hor, they set out by the way to the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom. And the people became impatient on the way. And the people spoke against God and against Moses. Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and we loathe this worthless food. Then the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people so that many people of Israel died. All right. Just stop there. See, the children of Israel have been wandering now in the desert for a long time. God has been providing for them. Remember the manna from heaven? He's been sending them that. He's been sending them quail. He's been giving them water out of rocks. He's been providing for them, keeping them safe, delivering enemies into their hands. And right before this, in Numbers 21, in the first three verses, it tells us about how God delivered a Canaanite king and his army into their hands, again protecting them. And then we get these verses here that I just read, where they are once again complaining. It says that the people became impatient. And the reason is because they are now actually going away from the promised land. And I have a map here. I wanted to show you this, because you know I love maps. So as you can see, this is Egypt over here on the left of the screen. They've gone down all the way down here in the Sinai Peninsula. Mount Sinai is where they got the Ten Commandments, where Moses went up on the mountain. Pastor Ben talked to us about that last week. And now they're up here. Here's Mount Hor. And they are this close to the promised land, that close. And God tells them to go back this way so they can go around Edom. They're that close. So why would such a random event be included in God's word? So what we learn here is that these snakes come into the people of Israel and they start biting people, and the people start dying from the poison of these snakes. Why would God send these snakes, venomous snakes, to kill his people? The answer to this is simply this: because God does not take sin lightly. That's the answer. Couldn't he just snap his fingers and the snakes would be gone? Of course he could. But his plan to solve the sin problem in this world was never going to be easy for his people, including us. And God sent the snakes because the people were more concerned with their bellies than with God. And did you notice that verse? I have a dry sense of humor, as you may have noticed. These kinds of things make me laugh. In verse 5, as they're complaining to Moses and to God, "For there is no food and no water, and we loathe this worthless food." That doesn't make sense, that sentence. They have food, they just don't like it. You get it? They're complaining about the food that they have. They would rather go back to Egypt where they were slaves. The people were sinning and rejecting God. Their sin led to their death. This isn't God being mean. They preferred to walk in the darkness. They were more comfortable in the darkness. You see, sometimes we too are more comfortable in the darkness. And when they deserted God for the darkness, God sent the snakes. And so this leads to the first of three R words I want you to take from the message today. And the first word is rebellion. The rebellion of the people in this event is no different than our own rebellion. When we sin, when we put whatever, whether it be our money, our jobs, our family, our kids' events, whatever, the usual suspects, whenever we put any of those things before God, we are in rebellion. It's as simple as that. So the question for you this morning is, how often do you find yourself being lured into rebellion? You know, who doesn't like to be a rebel, right? Being a rebel can look so exciting at times. You know, as I mentioned, Pastor Ben talked about the Ten Commandments last week. As we look at each of those commandments, hey, if sin wasn't fun, we wouldn't do it, right? We're lured and we rebel when we break those Ten Commandments. So often do you find yourself being lured into this rebellion? The same way the Israelites were back in the desert. And just like the Israelites in that desert who were bitten by those snakes, our sin also leads to death. Let's go on here. Numbers 21, verse 7. "And the people came to Moses and said, 'We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord that he take away the snakes from us.'" So now we got the second R word for the day. Repentance. The people are now aware of their sin because they see their family, their friends being poisoned to death by these snakes that are biting them. They're aware and they repent. They are now begging for forgiveness. And you know what? This is the way of life for us too. When we recognize our rebellion and recognize that we are sinners, it drives us to repent and to ask for forgiveness. And God says, "No way am I going to forgive these worthless sinners." Right? No, of course not. That's not what he says. God is gracious and merciful, just like he was, he is, and always will be. And he provides not just a way, but the one and only way to get out of this sin problem. To live. And to not stay dead eternally forever. And so this leads us to the last two verses here in Numbers chapter 21. Verses 8 and 9. And the Lord said to Moses, make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole. And everyone who is bitten, when he sees it, shall live. So Moses made a bronze serpent and set it on a pole. And if a serpent bit anyone, he would look at the bronze serpent and live. So God instructs Moses what to do. To make this fiery snake, it's out of bronze. And by the way, the area that they would have been in had a lot of copper in that area, so it makes sense that it was bronze. So Moses makes this fiery serpent and places it on a pole, much like this pole over here, and sets it up. And anybody who looks at it will live. As they looked at that fiery serpent on the pole, the tree, it was probably a tree branch or trunk, they would see their sin. Because of their sin, people were dying. And as they see their sin, the Lord is faithful and just to cleanse his people from all their sins. I smell some crimson thread here. Let's jump to the Gospel of John, chapter 3. Verse 14 and 15. This is Jesus speaking, by the way. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. It doesn't get much more crimson thread than this, people. Jesus, the crimson thread, is talking, threading it up to the Old Testament. To what Moses did way back in the desert, 1,000 or more years before. But wait a second here. So John wrote this gospel here in John chapter 3. Is John saying that Jesus compared himself to a snake? This fiery snake that Moses put on this pole? Is this Jesus? The answer is yes. When you look at the cross and see Jesus hanging there, you are looking at your own sin. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says this, for our sake, he made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. I made the really important words there a lot bigger intentionally. He made him, Jesus, who had no sin, perfect, never broke a commandment. He made him to be the one that was sin. Do you get that? That's pretty big. This is a big deal. This is our God, our Savior, who is sin. You know, I got this cross when we were in Israel. It's made out of olive wood. It's all one piece. And it's got Jesus hanging on it. And it's good for us to look at crosses with Jesus still hanging on it. It's good to, we wouldn't have this, by the way, an empty cross without this. As Jesus is hanging on this cross, as we fix our eyes on Jesus here, bloody, bruised, beaten, dying, as we fix our eyes on Jesus, we see a terrible sight. You know why? Because you're seeing your sin hanging here on this cross. This is what sin looks like. Jesus dying on the cross. When the Israelites, who were bitten by those snakes, who had the poison of their own sin coursing through their bodies, when they looked at that snake because they believed God, they were healed and they were given life. Not because they were stellar people, but because of God and His grace and mercy. You know, we too, just like those Israelites who looked upon that snake on the tree, were saved and healed. We too are saved by Jesus, who had every single one of your sins and my sins on Him. Now just imagine the sins of just the people in this room. Now imagine all the sins in the whole world forever on Him as He's hanging there and dying. And when we look at this, we are saved by the precious blood of Jesus who died on this cross. John 3:16, the verse right after Jesus references this event in Numbers 21. It's a verse you all know by heart. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We see, we believe, and we are saved by that man hanging on the cross. And you know what? Because of the shed blood and death of Jesus on this cross, we too will get to enter the promised land, which is, of course, heaven. And that's the third word, our word, restoration. Because of our rebellion, it drives us to repent, and then we are restored. You know, until that time comes, we will struggle with sin. We continue to struggle with sin every single day. But we continue to repent of our sin. And God, who is gracious and merciful, will forgive our sin. And we are restored because of the grace and mercy of God. This is what it's all about, brothers and sisters in Christ. This is what it means to be a Christian. This is how much our God loved us, that He died on this cross. So let's continue to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. Amen. Oh Lord God, You had Moses.